All right. Well, good to have everyone here tonight. We're excited about the series we're in. Again, we're understanding the words of Jesus. And we looked at this series for quite some time. And it's almost too much to get your mind wrapped around when you're talking about every word he said. Well, in this particular part we're on right now, we're dealing with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. And this is going to take some time for us to get through. It'll be several weeks for us just to get through this. But here's the thing. There's a way to do this lessons where you kind of just get through them and you read them and you touch on them, say a couple of little phrases. But that's how can you say you're understanding it? Now, how many understands a little bit more from last Sunday what it means to be poor in spirit? Well, we're going to take at least two more weeks to deal with poor in spirit. Now, I believe that's what the Lord is dealing with us concerning, that we got to get this. And I'm afraid the church is not. And we want to. We ought to. So I'm going to give you the information on how to do it. But as believers, remember we talked about what makes a marks of Christian? What's the marks of a Christian? Think about that. What's the identifying marks? Well, I can tell you, if you look up here and you're not doing these things, that's not the right mark. Now, you could be doing one of these, and it's still not the right one. Because you could do it based on what you know about it. Like, let's take the merciful. You could be merciful based on what you believe mercy is. But you'll never know what merciful is until you know what poor in spirit is. Because it's the one that brings light to all of these. You can get a Bible dictionary, and look all these up. And you say, you know, I can do these right here, you know. But until you understand poor in spirit, it doesn't matter, because the dictionary is not telling you how to be poor in spirit. So we're going to take on the first one, poor in spirit. And we're going to, again, I said to you last Sunday, it's like the rings. That, how many seen these rings when at a playground or in a gym? And you get on the first ring, and that would be poor in spirit. And the rest of the rings, they're just out of reach. But how do you get there? Momentum. You swing on and you get momentum, and then you keep going. Well, most believers in life, sometimes they get hung up on one of these. Because you don't know how to mourn if you're not poor in spirit. You can't even do this one. Listen, at all. You're kidding yourself. You think you know how to mourn if you haven't been poor in spirit. You see how important it is that poor in spirit be looked at? So he sits on the mountain, the multitude gathers, and his disciples are sitting with him. And the first thing he says in Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, there is no, if he taught the lesson three or four or five times, he wouldn't get out of this order. How many understand that? Because he knew that the order in which he would give it would be critical for the believer to make sure they're following that path. Poor in spirit, I'll say it this way so everybody can get it, poverty of spirit. Because I want you to understand that poor in spirit, the word poor is poverty of spirit. It's recognizing my need for him. Now, we know ultimately that the Most High God is the one we're going to. We're after. We're pursuing after him. But there's only one vehicle that gets us or that we can get in order to start performing these things, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach. There is no other vehicle. And so this is important. This is going to be valuable. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, if you really want to get a hold of this, whatever you're reading, whatever you're looking into, whatever you're studying, I would suggest for you to put it down and focus on this verse 3 because it's going to be critical to your life. Very critical. I want to suggest to you today that maybe you can pick one of these and you can figure out maybe it applies to what you're going through in your life. Maybe you're up against one of these things. Maybe you can look at one of these and you can see, well, I didn't do one of these. It's where I fell off the ring. What do I do when I fall off the ring? Do I jump up as high as I can to get back on merciful? Do I try to jump up because I need to get pure in heart? I fell off. I wasn't so pure, but I fell off there. Or maybe I fell off a peacemaker. Instead of sowing peace, it was an argument. And I fell. There's no doubt about it. I fell off that ring. What do I do? Do I grab it, jump as high as I can and get really spiritually sound and jump and get it? It's not how you get back on. You get back on by coming over here. You got to start right here. Poor in spirit. It's the only way. The only way to get back on track. There's no other way. You cannot get through this obstacle course. Because this is basically, it's an obstacle course. And we face these things all the time. If it's not today, it'll be tomorrow. If it's not tomorrow, it's next week. It's coming in our life. There's no doubt about it. This is the obstacle course of life. We fail at this, we don't make it in the kingdom. Because they said poverty in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what they get. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that amazing? And so I think it's critical for us to see this. So this stuck in my head. And so I wanted to at least give us something that we can see and take home. So you can look at it, how critical it is. Now in the morning, we're going to continue. We're still going to be right here in the morning. Probably next week, we'll still be right here. Because you don't know how to mourn until you're poor in spirit. You don't know how to be meek until you're poor in spirit. You can't do those things. You can try. You can put your best foot forward, make a great effort. We could be very religious and mindful. We can have good doctrine. We can have sound doctrine. And we can get into that where we really want to get things right. We really want to be right. We really want to make sure we're not doing what we shouldn't do. You can have all those things in the name of Yeshua and still miss being in the kingdom. That's the crazy thing about this whole Christianity and serving God that I think we can't overlook. And it really is a testament. All I got to do is just stop what I'm doing right now, get in a small group, and you'll quickly find out that I'm stuck somewhere, but I can't figure out where. There won't be a lot of people who have words to say. Not a lot of talking going on. Because the interaction when it comes to Bible things and doing things in Bible ways, the way God describes to us, is not second nature to us. And it should be first nature. But it's not even second, maybe not even third. Maybe not even fourth or fifth. That's a terrible thing. It's almost like we don't have much in common, but being in the same room at the same time is the common thing. That's a very dangerous place to be. And the enemy knows. If I don't get that one right, I'm going to be in trouble. It's a terrible place to be in. Ring one, I'll just go through these, kind of set the scene here. Ring one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when I talk about the kingdom of heaven, and that's what Matthew does. Matthew describes the kingdom of heaven. When he uses the word of heaven, he means it's assigned to that place where God is. If I say the kingdom of God, I mean the same thing. It's God's kingdom. Or if I say bread from heaven, where does that bread come from? Heaven don't have a bread machine that just kind of spits out loaves and they fall. That bread comes from God. You understand? So that term heaven is it's to let us know that it's assigning to it the highest place. Remember that. The kingdom of God, if I say the kingdom of God, then there's nothing higher than that. If I say the kingdom of heaven, it's just assigning to the highest. So when I'm going to use the kingdom of heaven because it's what the scripture is saying in Matthew, but it means the exact same thing. So theirs, the poor in spirit, is the kingdom of heaven. That's a powerful statement. Happy is a man, or blessed is a man, who is poor in spirit. For theirs, everyone that's poor in spirit, is the kingdom of heaven. Ring two. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Remember, you can't mourn correctly until you've been poor in spirit. Because the mourning there is mourning over your sin. Not mourning over something that you lost that you loved. That's not the mourning he's talking about. We all get that when we can do it pretty good. We've been sad before. But mourning over your condition. When you realize, I'm a sinful man. And if I don't get God to give me life, I am in trouble. I'm not going to make it. That's a scary thought to me. I'm not going to make it in the kingdom if I don't get God to do something for me. But what he says, if you mourn, if you know how to be poor in spirit, you're going to get to mourn. And when you mourn, they shall be comforted. He said, I'm going to do something about that. How many think we need to get to the second ring? How many see how this is a process you're progressing on? But you get all the way out somewhere over here, and you're doing good. You're making it. And the blessing of God's on your life, and they got things going on in your life. Well, let me tell you something. Who do we think we are that God will say, okay, it's time to test. I don't want you too far out there where you get self-dependent, where you're relying on yourself. Why shouldn't we rely on ourselves? That's a dangerous spot to be. That's where the devil, he wants us to start thinking, we're doing this. I'm holding it together. I'm doing all this stuff. So what's going to happen? There'll be a time in our life that he'll check us. Where is he going to check us? What is he going to use to check our faithfulness? Poor in spirit. He's not going to use these. He's always, always, God will always check where you are by poor in spirit. And if you can't do that after you've been to the top, you always got to realize when you got to the top, if you take God out, poor in spirit, we need him every moment of the day. Let me tell you, this story, this guy, he starts speaking to the Lord. He's sitting there and he starts talking to the Lord. He said, Lord, it's been 8 hours since I sinned. It's been 8 hours since I sinned in deed or thought. And I'm so grateful. I did nothing wrong in 8 hours. Then he says, I'm awake now. I need you. He got it. I'm awake now. He was fine when he was sleeping. For the last 8 hours, I didn't sin in deed or thought, but now I'm awake. I need you every second of the day. That's poor in spirit. See, we got no problem. We can, while we're sleeping, we're good. But what's happening when you're awake? When you're awake, when you're conscious, the war is in front of you, and you got to consciously decide that I'm going to reach out to the Lord because I can't make it today without Him. It has to be something that becomes real to you. Very important. Ring three. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now He's given us that goes a little deeper into, we mourn for our sin and then we're meek. They shall inherit the earth. Talks about our inheritance. It talks about and it goes into it as we get there to go into the kingdom of heaven and its position and where it's at and who inherits that. You become an heir. An inheritance is something that's given to you because of what someone else has done. Think about that. It's not what you saved, it's what they saved. So everything that Christ paid for, everything that He did when He was crucified, then buried, then rose again, and then seated at the right hand of the Father, we become heir of that. What's the signature thing that we need to operate in order to inherit the earth? Blessed are the meek. Ring four. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember that. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know why it's difficult for people to get a hunger? You can say, what can we do? I don't know what else to say. Why can't people get a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? Because we think when we get saved, that's what happens. We're saved. And that's the end of it. There should be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. What does that mean? Operating, walking in, living out that righteousness that only comes from God. He established that through Christ. And it's something that we want to do. Well, it's going to be difficult to do that if we don't learn these. We got to operate in them on a daily basis. Ring five. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Think about that. Merciful, obtain mercy. Now, that's a difficult one. This one right here is not easy. It's not easy, because we'll hold a grudge for a long, you know, we don't even realize how long we hold a grudge. And that's a terrible thing. How can we hold a grudge about somebody else and what they done and what they said? Because you know why you can do that? You have forgot how to be poor in spirit. We don't even recognize that if I look at my condition, I look at my sin, I look at the path I've traveled on, it hadn't been pretty. I need God every day. And if I need God to have mercy on me, I have to be merciful. To obtain mercy, you have to be merciful. But that's not a natural thing to man. It's not natural. We don't want to be merciful. We want even. What if you got even and then God says, okay, you want it even, now I'm going to give you what you need. It's even for you. And we get cast away, forever separated from God. That would be even, but we won't sign up for that. Nobody wants that. We want mercy, but don't want to be merciful. Think about that. Man, you start talking about these things, it starts to get a little tight around the collar. And you start thinking, man, I can't believe I'm doing those things. Let me tell you why we get way away from the Lord. Not knowing how to be poor in spirit. Not knowing how to be poor in spirit. Ring six. Blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart. For they shall see Elohim. Well, that almost seems impossible. Who's pure in heart? There's always something going on. There's always something happening. Pure in heart. I can tell you, if we keep ourselves where we need to be, continue to live out, learn how to be poor in spirit, it won't take long that we'll hit these places in our life. He said, they shall see Elohim. It's a wonderful promise. Wonderful. Ring seven. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. Think about that. Ask yourself, am I a peacemaker? For they shall be called the children of Elohim. The children of Elohim. Who gets that title? Children of Elohim, peacemakers. Think about it. A room full of people, and they got some contention going on. Let's forget the room. A church full of people. Because that's where the contention usually happens, in the church. And we got a little contention going on. Who in that room, who in that church is going to be a peacemaker? Who is going to say, at the end of the day, what does it matter? What does it matter about who's right? If you really want to be truthful, every one of us are wrong and we have sinned before God. Now, we can take some time and point out people, but the person who's pointing out, he is not poor in spirit. He is not poor in spirit. To have true koinonia, you have to know how to be poor in spirit. Somebody says, well, maybe to really have fellowship, it takes love. And you can sit in the room and say, well, I have love, but they don't have much love. You may be, it's a truth. Maybe you're saying 100% what you say is true. Maybe to have real fellowship, maybe it takes being humble. Let me just tell you, there's a vast difference between being poor in spirit and humility. I'm humble, but they're not humble. It's a true statement. Takes unity. I'm in unity, but they're not in unity. Church has been doing this for hundreds of years, trying to figure this out. We're all going to get together. We're all going to help each other. We got to be unity, have unity. We got to be love. We got to have humility. All those things are right. But they're not what we're talking about here, because you can look at somebody else and you can say they're not having it. But if you say, I'm poor in spirit, but she's not poor in spirit or he's not poor in spirit, that's a dead giveaway that you're not poor in spirit, because when you're poor in spirit, you don't look at other people and what they're doing. Poor in spirit only looks at me. Only. Think about that. Poor in spirit, you only see you. The moment you say, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do, but they're not, you're not poor in spirit. You're not poor in spirit as long as you see in somebody else. That's a true giveaway that you don't know how to be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit sees nothing but their sin. And they see God high and lifted up. And they're still trying to figure out how in the world this amazing God loves me the way he does. We have lost that. And we can't lose it. You can't get somewhere in church. You can't fill up the seats and the singing gets right and it just feels good and it's kind of just a gathering now. And you got a group of people that know how to be poor in spirit at all. And it doesn't mean you to be poor in spirit, you have to be stripped of everything. You can't have anything. We're not talking about the poverty in the estate. We're not talking about being broke. I can show you broke people still don't know how to be poor in spirit. You can have a lot of things And you could be poor in spirit. We're not talking about your financial capabilities. We're talking about how you posture yourself before him. How do you see him and how do you see you? This has nothing to do with other people. Nothing that whatsoever. You're not concerned. That's why this is the only thing that can usher us into worship. Other than that, we're hanging on a ring somewhere, and we kind of get through the song, but we ain't hit worship yet, because you can't hit it completely until you've been poor in spirit. It's impossible. When you see nobody else but you and him, that's poor in spirit. Think about that. If you're critical, you don't know how to be poor in spirit. If the only thing you're constantly looking at what somebody else is doing, what they're saying, how they're living, you don't know how to be poor in spirit. It's always about somebody, not poor in spirit. Poor in spirit got nothing to do with anybody, but you see you and you measuring yourself up to the Most High God and you're going, I don't even know how this is possible. And then when you're measured with him, you're side by side with him, what happens? You start mourning. You hit that next one just off of momentum. It's just to mourn, to really be sorry for your sin, is just out of reach because you swung on poor in spirit. You grabbed the mourning, and now you're moving in, and then you'll finally learn how to be meek. Did I go out completely? There we go. Did we do the last one yet? Ring 8. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Think about that. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Where do we hear that before? Where do we hear for theirs is the kingdom of heaven before? Where do we hear that? Over here. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I could have left persecuted out. Just focus on righteousness' sake. Not your righteousness, not my righteousness, but you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. What's the blessing? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the same as poor in spirit. Think about that. We're a long way from 8, but we're going to get there at some point because we got at least 2-3 weeks on this poor in spirit. At least this Sunday, next Sunday for sure. No doubt about it that we have to focus on this. That'll be 3 weeks because we done some last time. So let's take Matthew 5, verse 3. I'll cover a couple things, and then I'm just going to do the rest in the morning. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those three highlighted things is what I'll try to just kind of breeze through, just kind of look at this whole entire verse. The calling, number one, the calling. The calling. The calling, we're called to be what? Poor in spirit. Or poverty of spirit. Poverty of spirit. Very important. Poor in spirit means that you recognize your poverty before Elohim. You got to recognize your poverty. Now, let me explain it this way. And I understand it because I've seen it before. I've witnessed this firsthand. But maybe not everybody could understand. I want you to think beggar, like a beggar. Not a panhandler. There's a difference. We got a lot of those, but we're talking about a legitimate beggar. What is he begging for? Because he don't have anything. He recognizes that on his own, he cannot do anything that's going to get him from where he is to a different state. He's dependent solely upon what he can beg for. Now, notice the word used, poor or poverty of spirit. You got to think beggar. We say, well, I shouldn't have to beg God for anything. You don't know how to be poor in spirit. Just by the saying that statement. What you mean you shouldn't have to? What, you got some status? Is there like a status that you have that you're, does a beggar, they could care less what you think about them. I'm not going out there. I shouldn't have to beg. A true beggar don't say that. He realizes, we met beggars on our third world country. If you've never been to a third world country, you never met a beggar. You met people down in their luck. You met panhandlers. But if you've never been in a third world country, you don't even know what a beggar is. There's people in some countries that they've been in that state for a long time. They go and get something from a person, and then the next day they're there to get it again. Maybe he hand him a half-eaten sandwich. And he gave it to the beggar, and the beggar just ate it up. He didn't pack it away, he ate it. And he had no plate, got nothing going on. The next day he's there, and the guy says to him, what'd you do what I gave you yesterday? What you gave me yesterday was for yesterday. I'm here today, and I'm a beggar. Poor in spirit, poverty of spirit. What God did for you yesterday is for yesterday. But what happens is we get something and we just want to nibble on it a little bit. And we wonder why we can't do none of these things. Because we haven't learned how to set our posture before Him. Poor in spirit means that you recognize your poverty before Elohim. You recognize it. Not you can't, I don't understand why I'm like this. Why I gotta be like this? When am I gonna get my breakthrough? Listen, when you recognize yourself and you measure it against Elohim, a breakthrough ain't gonna help you. When am I going to hit the lottery? You think that's going to help you? I need more money. I need some. I can't understand, Lord, what you want. No, there's a big difference between that type of thinking and measuring your seeing who He is. Recognizing Him as the Creator. And when you see your condition, you consult Him. When you start to consult Him and you start to put your life in His hands, what does the beggar do? The beggar is dependent completely upon the one that he's begging from. Do I do that with God, the Most High, The one that encourages me to do that. As a matter of fact, his only begotten son sits down in his first sermon, in the first verse he reads, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have a promise. They have a guarantee. We want to make it. We don't make it because we're trying to be good. There's none good. See, we're trying to do things that the scripture tells us is impossible to do. Yet what he tells us to do, we don't want to do it. Oh, I'm just trying to be a good person. Give up. I'm just telling you right now, give up on that. That dream you'll never have. Because there's none good, no, not one. You don't need to be good. You don't need to try to be good. We got to ask God for help. We got to be poor in spirit, have poverty of spirit, and say, Lord, I don't even know what I need. When I get next to you, I have no idea what I need. All I know is I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Somehow we got to have your help here. And then we're talking about a man who's in the spirit, saw the Lord high and lifted up. I mean, once you get in that kind of spiritual atmosphere, you don't see that you need anything. Yet Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Think about that. Why did he do that? Here's a man that's doing everything God's asked of him. He's receiving from the Lord. God's got him in his vision. He's seeing this vision of heaven. He sees the Lord. And what does he do? He goes right back to poverty. He's been all through these. He goes right back and he said, when I see myself next to him, there's only one thing I can do. And that's being poverty of spirit. I realize that I need something from him. Remember the man? Lord, it's been 8 hours. Been 8 hours. I hadn't sinned and thought a deed, but now I'm awake. I need you every moment of my life. Think about that. Let me read Isaiah to you. I have it up here, so I read it last Sunday. I want to read it again. Isaiah 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Yahweh sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I want you to think about this vision. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me. Woe is me. He didn't say woe is them. Why don't they? How come they? They don't do this. They don't do that. He's not worrying about they. It's not a they moment. Woe is me. I'm here. Yahweh's here. And when I see me and Yahweh beside each other, I am completely undone. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because, and he tells us why, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. What's the key? My eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. When I get a glimpse of him, instantly, poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Not, well, you know, y'all folks can't be here where I am, but, you know, you got to keep trying. You got to keep, you know, just stay faithful and keep trying. One of these days, you're going to get where I am. That's the kind of clowns we have in the pulpit today. Got it and telling you, if you want it, you got to do something in order to get where they are. It's absolutely crazy. When's the last time you ever heard anybody, anywhere, on TV, anywhere, that's telling you how important it is that we have to learn to understand what it means to be poor in spirit? You know why it's not a popular thing to preach? We're not ready for this. It's demeaning. That's how we see it, because somehow we deserve to be have accolades. We deserve to be told things good. We want inspiration. We don't want to come here and hear this. We want to be inspired. Come, I want to come to church. Inspire me so I can go out and be me. Well, that'd be fun. If you want me to lie to you, you can be you all you want. But what's going to happen on the day that you was being you? Haven't I done this? Haven't I done that? I did all these wonderful things. You remember the Pharisee that came into the temple? I. Then the publican's over there. He's not even lifting his head. He got a glimpse of the Most High and he realized, man, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I said things, done things. I'm a sinner. Let me just give you let me help you out with sin. Now, I don't think with anybody in here, there's not been a time in your life that there hadn't been some sin. All right? So we sin. And we have an advocate with the Father. And he forgives us of that sin. It's gone. Now we clean before him. What happens when you sin again? Is it his fault? Everything that was behind you now is in front of you. All of it. You went back into the sin of the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west. We went back into that. We pulled all that stuff back out. The moment we do it again. You understand? That's why we got to be poor in spirit. When you recognize, there's no other way to posture yourself. I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. Notice that. What is he doing? The sin is not for God to know it, because he already knew it. It's for us to be willing to not try to think for a moment we can hide amongst the trees. Amongst the trees. I don't want to think for a moment that I can do that. I don't really need to go. I hear the preaching and I feel the conviction, but you know, God hears me. We don't want to consult with God when it comes to this. We want to figure it out ourselves. I know what I'm doing's wrong. And to me, it's not wrong. So that kind of stuff. Very, very dangerous place. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this had touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sins purged. Think about that. Thy iniquity is taken away and thy sins purged. How'd that happen? Poor in spirit. He recognized his position when he was in the presence of God. What was that position? I'm nothing. Don't matter how long you've been doing it. You got to take that posture. Very important. Also, I heard the voice of Yahweh saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. This is the progression. This is the process in which we see throughout that. You got to remember, you don't want to let pride sink in. Pride can only live in the heart of a person who is far from Elohim. Think about that. Pride can only live in the heart of a person who is far from Elohim. I can tell you, if you show me a person who can't forgive, they don't even know Elohim. You say, but they've been a Christian for a long time. I'm going to say it again. I don't want anybody to confuse my words tonight. You show me a person who can't operate in forgiveness, I'm going to show you a person who's so far from Elohim, they don't even know, have no contact with him in a long time. Yet they go to church, they do all the things, they sing and they praise, they do all them things, but can't operate in forgiveness. That's, you don't know him. You say, well, I know him. No, you don't know him, because if you knew him, you'd have poverty of spirit. Period. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with your neighbor. If you knew him like Isaiah knew him, you would instantly have poverty of spirit. Pride can only live in the heart of a person who is far from Elohim. Now, I didn't understand this. But then I'm reading, he says, Haven't we did this? Haven't we done this in your name? Then he makes this statement, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you? That bothered me, that part. What do you mean you never knew me? Pride can only live in the heart of a person who is far from Elohim. You can have a form of godliness. You can be religious. You can have doctrine. You can go to church. We can all smile. We can just you can love going to church. But you can deny the power thereof. Denying the power is not being poverty of spirit. Not recognizing you don't measure yourself against somebody else. You're measured up to him. If you measure yourself up to him, how often will you need him? Every single day. I'm awake now, Lord. I'm going to need you every second of the day. I'm going to need you. I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. What beggars do? I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. And God comes through for you. And then you're going to eat that up. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know, Lord, how I'm going to get through the day. We're not talking about people who are staying babies. We're talking about beggars. We're talking about people who are power and spirit. They know how to ask God for stuff. You know what he said? You don't have because you don't ask. You're not asking for it. You're complaining about not having it. You're grumbling about not having it. But you're not asking me for it. You know why you're not asking? Because we think we are floating high and going through all this. God, you know, I'm a peacemaker. I'm the peacemaker in the church. But you're struggling with something. In your own personal life, well, you can be the peacemaker all you want. Peacemaking, don't get theirs, is the kingdom of heaven attached to it. You got to come back over here for that. That's life changing. I'm telling you, this series, this message, this Beatitudes is going to be life changing to us if we want it. You can't go back from this. You can't say, I'm going to unknow it. Poor in spirit. We have to have it. Pride can only live in the heart of a person who is far from Elohim. Because if you get him close to you, pride is going to have to bow its knee. When pride rose up in the kingdom of God, in God's establishment, pride rose up, what did he do? He cast it far from him. How Satan grew in pride, he got cast far from him. Number two, the blessing. The blessing. What's the blessing? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the guarantee. The blessing. For those who are poverty of spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's our goal. What's the hope? We don't hope. We're trying to be a good person and try to make sure. And maybe one day we'll get to heaven. But folks talk like that. It's nonsense. It's literal nonsense. What do you mean? That's the goal. One day I'll get to heaven. Listen, the blessing is theirs is. Not will be. Not will be. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus said the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Now, what does he inhabit? Eternity. Who are we talking about? The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Think about it. Whose name is holy. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Notice that. I dwell in the high holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Wow. Theirs, poverty of spirit, what's the blessing? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have this guarantee. He says, I dwell in a high and holy place. I want you to get that. He's telling us his rule, his domain, about himself. And he says, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also. How many want to know about also? Very important. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why is that important? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is the key. This is absolutely the key. We ought to put a ribbon around this and paint this ring gold. Because this is the key. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of preaching right there. But it'd be nonsense to preach all of that unless you get this. It's the gold. It's the beginning of it. You can't get to operation and you know how to be merciful. Merciful in most Christianity is selective. We're just selective on who gets the more merciful treatment. If we like them, then, you know, let's just be honest. We don't really want to do it, but because we know them, we kind of be forced to do it. Well, none of that works with God. You know what we force ourselves to do, what we tolerate? We're walking around as Christians with the real Christian marks on us, and we learn how to tolerate each other. Well, that might work for us, and we'll get through it. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we won't. It don't matter. That don't really matter if I go. Ain't nobody going to miss me anyway. That's how we treat church. Because that's what we do. We have joined church. We haven't hooked up with God. We're not talking about the high and lofty one who dwells in a high and holy place, whose name is holy. We make a connection to the place. So then it doesn't matter. And technically it really doesn't. If that's how we measure against each other in the place, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you come in. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. But if I'm really going to jump in this thing and I measure myself to the most holy, the one who dwells, who inhabits eternity. When I'm talking about inhabiting eternity, I'm speaking of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He inhabits eternity. Now, he had to step out for a moment. He stepped out for a moment because man sinned and broke covenant with him. The first Adam fell. He said, I'm going to step out. I'm going to let my son step in. He's going to fix what's been torn up and he's going to show you. He's going to sit down. He's going to say, okay, listen up here, multitude. Listen, disciples. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He's going to set that record straight. And once he conquers and the last enemy, his enemy shall be made his footstool. and he rules and reigns for 1,000 years, then God, the Most High, is going to step back in and inhabit eternity. You understand this? Does he want to be alone? No, if he wanted to be alone, he'd have said, you know what? I can't even believe I made man. What's the point in this? Look at them, how ridiculous they are. He sent his only son to fix it so he can inhabit eternity. And you know why he's inhabiting eternity? He says, with him also. With him also. You ought to put your name there. With Jesse also. With Chad also. With Charlotte also. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to dwell with them. Because I come to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. The guy that knows how to be poor in spirit, he said, that's where I want to be. He's not only we want to be there, but he wants to be where we are. Because we know how to put ourselves in front of him and say, Lord, if you don't help me today, I'm going to fail. I don't want for a second to think that I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm that good. Just remember, you're not that good. I'm not that good. And if it wouldn't be for the hand of God on my life, I would live in failure. Live in it. But thanks be to God. When you can get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm awake now. I need you every second of the day. Not just for some morning chit chat. I need you all through the day. No matter what I'm doing. I can't walk without you teaching me. I can't talk without you telling me. I can't hear. My ears are not hearing what I need to be hearing unless you're working on my ears. Do you understand that? We get in the boat, we got it. You got it? You can drive boats all your life. You know what you ought to say, Lord? Unless you help me, unless you get my brain working and all my functions happening, I don't know how to do this, but I thank you. You're with me. I can fish. There should be no credit. We're talking about standing in the same room with him. But let me tell you how you're able to do that. You treat God like a place to go. It's a place to go. You go to that place, you do that for a couple of hours, and then you leave that place and you go do your thing. You do you. And you're not interested in going back until you break something. And he needs to fix it for you. So then we go back and let him do that. And let me tell you, sometimes we get so broken, we'll come and we're crying. I mean, we really want him. And we feel like, why am I not feeling anything? Because he not tell you to cry. He didn't tell you to be sorry you got caught. He didn't tell you that. He said, be poverty stricken. Be like a beggar. And if I don't come through for you, you're going to die tonight. And when you do that, what does he do? He comes through. You think he sent his son to die so we can just fail? He don't want us to fail. But he don't want us to play games either. And the game player is over. It's over. And it's not about who else comes. Listen, if you're by yourself, listen, you know what I determined today? If nobody comes, if I'm right, and if I'm really showing God that I'm going to do what he said, I'd have preached the same thing to myself because I need every word of it. When you get your mind made up that you're going to have poverty of spirit, it'll change your life. Don't worry about everybody else's life. They got to do it themselves. Everybody's got to do what they need to do. You worry about you. You got to get poverty stricken. You get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people who's poverty stricken in the same room, and I'll tell you, heaven will come down and change that place. It makes all the difference. I'm telling you, when I thought, man, Lord, if you do more than you did in the Galatians series, I don't know. This blows the Galatians series out the water. I thank God we got to understand those things. We got to comprehend those things. But listen, this is where the rubber meets the road here. This is it. You got to be poor in spirit in order to make it. There'll be no success. He comes. Listen what he does. Look who inhabits eternity. It's a powerful verse of scripture. You ought to keep this one as one of your favorite to read. Number three, application. How does this apply? People who are poor in spirit give up the idea that Elohim owes them. They give that up. That's how you apply. If you want to know the application, people who are poor in spirit, they give up the idea that Elohim owes them. Not only do we live in a society of entitlement, but that entitlement steeps deep in the church world today. It steeps deep. God owes me something because I've been going to church all my life. I shouldn't get sick because God owes me. I should walk in healing because God owes me. Poverty stricken, poverty, poor in spirit, they give up that idea. That we figured out Elohim doesn't owe me anything. The only thing he owes us is to condemn us all to death. Every one of us. If truly we're going to get paid, he condemns us to death. That's what we should get. Think about that. I came to church to get a blessing, and pastor says I ought to be condemned to death. You know, we're talking about what God owes us. That's what he owes humanity. That's what he owed Adam and Eve. He owed them that. They standing there with leaves on them, covering their nakedness. The tree of life is right there in hand's reach. He said, what is this? Who told you you were naked? What is going on here? I inhabit eternity. I come to dwell among a people who has a poverty stricken. They recognize they need me. Instead, what did God do? Oh, well, let's see. He went right here. And he showed them some mercy. Because ain't nobody would have said anything if he'd just killed both of them right off the bat and started digging him some dirt up and making him two more new ones. But he showed them some of that right here, mercy. And he gave the curse went out. The promise went out. There's going to be another. There's going to be a seed. There's going to be a confrontation, but he won't fail. You know, you look at this, where's the cross in all this? Let me tell you where it's at. It's right here. At the foot of the cross. Think about it. And we got to live this out. But what he could have done that, but he didn't. Showed a little mercy. People who are poor in spirit give up the idea that Elohim owes them. There's no entitlement here. It's a terrible way to think. Somehow, somebody else is responsible for what you do. Last time I looked, when the sinning got to sinning, it was me that was doing it. But once that happens, somehow we want to bring in the group in order for the penalty to be paid out. Well, that's not how it's going to work. There's going to be a day that he's going to call me by name, and I will stand before him by myself. He's either going to say, enter in or depart from me. I don't even know who are you. You don't know how to be poverty of spirit. But the man who's poverty of spirit, what does he do? He says, I dwell with him. I know him. I know him. I know him by the sound of his begging. I know him. I know when he asks. I know a true beggar sound. Because when it comes out, they're really mean. And if I don't get what you got to give me, what I'm begging you for, I'm going to die. I'm not going to survive. If I don't get what I'm asking you for, I'm going to die. And what does God do? He comes through. Because that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us to admit that he didn't do it. Nobody else did it to me. I did it to me. It was me. Let me go. I'm going to go quickly. There's no quick in this, but I'm going to finish. Application B. People who are poor in spirit are not afraid to ask. A real beggar, he ain't afraid. He got to put everything on the side. There ain't no pride in a real beggar. He don't care who's looking, who knows. He knows, if I don't get what I need, I'm going to die. You're not afraid to ask. People who cower and do all this is a false humility. And they figure I'm going to operate in a false humility, which is not poor in spirit. There's a big difference between being humble and poverty of spirit. You can have a humbleness that's false. And it's almost like feel sorry for me and give it to me anyway. People who are poor in spirit, they're not afraid to ask. Because they realize that if I don't ask, I'm in trouble. He said, you have not because you ask not. You have so much pride, you're too far away from God for him to even ask him for anything. And you're going to try to get out of it. I'm going to read my Bible more this year. You're going to try to fix it. I'm going to go to church more this year. You're going to try to fix it. I'm going to stand when they're singing. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm really going to try. You're going to do it. I can't do it, Lord. I don't even know how. Because when I look at you and I realize who I am, I need you. I need you. Help me. Help me. He's looking for us. Poverty of spirit. Application again, C. People who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive. You're getting ready to receive. People who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive. You don't get poor in spirit, you have no position. You're not even in a position to receive. What does the beggar do? He recognizes that he's a beggar. He realizes if I don't get something, I'm in trouble. I'm going to die. Then what does he do? He asks. And after he asks, what is he in a position to do? To receive. He's in a position to receive. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to realize that we have to come before him. We're not talking about being humble. I've seen people be humble. You know, they'll give their seat up or they'll let somebody else go. I don't really need to go. And all that's great. But that's not poverty in spirit. Humbleness is you're doing something for somebody else. You're putting yourself last instead of first. Poverty of spirit has nothing to do with anybody at all. It's nothing to do with anybody. If you're struggling tonight, if you're having difficulty, that's the problem right there. We got to understand who we are when we're faced with him. You're in a position to receive. Let me finish the last one. The people who are poor in spirit boast in the cross. Boast in the cross. Galatians 6, verse 12 says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Messiah, for the stake. Now, did we learn this in the Galatians series? For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Now watch this verse, verse 14. But certainly not that I should glory. What is he saying? May it never be that I would boast. That's what he's saying. The NSAB explains a little bit better. That I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. What is he saying? He says, I'm not going to boast in it, but I'm going to boast in the cross. I want everybody to understand this one thing. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. I'm crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to me. The only thing that matters to me is that Christ has been crucified for me. Then what's my next step, poor in spirit? I recognize my need for him. Then what has happened? I'm going to mourn over my sin. I'm going to have true repentance. I'm going to mourn with everything that's in me. Lord, I have no idea how it is that I get this chance. But here's the thing. We got the chance 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We got the chance. And what's happened to us since we got that chance? We got hung up in these over here. And we forgot, or maybe we just didn't know, that once you get hung up, you have to go back. Remember. Maybe it was right here on mercy. I don't know why I'm going to this one all the time. Or maybe being pure in heart. That's not an easy one. You know, pure in heart is being honest. It's being an honest person. And you might say, well, nobody will ever know. Let me tell you, God knows. It don't matter. Again, going back to everybody. It doesn't matter what everybody knows. God knows. The one who inhabits eternity knows. The high and holy one knows. He knows. What about a peacemaker? If there's anybody can stir it up, if you're known as the one who stirs it up, you may probably not a peacemaker. We got hung up on here and then we fell. And then we spent our life trying to just jump and get back on the rings. Well, even if you jumped and got back on, what did you lose? What did you lose? You lost your momentum. You lost your momentum. You hang in there, but your momentum's gone. What does it take? It takes momentum to go from ring to ring because they're just out of reach. You got momentum. That's going to help you. How do you get momentum? You go back. And you recognize the cross and what he done for us. And you recognize who you are. You measure yourself to the Most High. And you figured out 30 years of doing anything for God ought to be some kind of hand clap involved in that. That's not poverty of spirit. You know what you realize? What is 30 years mean to the one who inhabits eternity? Nothing. It means nothing to him. He's not interested in what you did 20 years ago. He care less about that. What he wants to know is what you do in the day. And you know what today is? I'm a beggar. And I realize if I don't get what I'm asking you for, I'm going to die. You're getting right back in that position because that's where you launched from. You get back in poverty of spirit and you keep the momentum going. You might cycle through this many times in life. You might cycle through this many, many, many times. And I don't care how long you've been serving God, no matter how long it's been, you always start right there. Always. So, I'm going to stop. because I got to preach in the morning too. I need some time to do these other slides. So I'm going to stop right there. I think I went longer than usual. Maybe not. All right. Well, let's stand together.